Check, check, check.
Check, check, check. Check,
Check.
check.
Ooh.
Check, check, check.
Jen and I are in San Antonio and Austin, which is one of the epicenters to watch it. And it got almost completely dark at 1:30 in the afternoon. It was pretty cool. I was out on my front porch. I made a time lapse, which the time lapse doesn't do it justice because my camera adjusts for low light. If I had a really shitty camera, it would have done it a
It
lot
would have
better.
been better.
Yeah,
That's
but this
funny.
one's like, oh, it's getting darker. I'm gonna make it lighter. But it's still cool. You can tell. I mean, it. My neighbors, their sidewalk lights came on,
So did
and
ours. Yeah.
it's so creepy. No wonder the Incas went batshit crazy when there was an eclipse.
Yeah, I was a little
Cool.
afraid it was going to be like the Purge, right? Because once it entered totality, there was a lot of like loud cheering around the neighborhood, and I was like, as you can tell, I'm a very paranoid person.
Yeah, I
Every
mean,
situation is a potential horror movie in my life.
and ladies and gentlemen, we have Danny Stepper, the founder of LA Libations, on the horn. How are you doing, Danny? And where are you right now?
Just landed in Minneapolis. Got some meetings with Target, so woke up in LA, but I'm in Minneapolis now.
Okay, good. Well, we just got done with the freakiest. We're in Central Texas, so we got the full brunt of the eclipse. It went completely dark at 1:30 in the afternoon. It was weird. There were cats and dogs running around the neighborhood, screeching. It was
Really?
my dog here. My dog, you can tell, is so worn out. Oops, that she
Oh,
can hardly.
wow.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
she went batshit crazy.
Wow.
So Danny, thanks for coming on Beer Net Radio. And you've got a couple of announcements that we wanted to kind of ask you about. So I appreciate you coming on short notice. And Jen, why don't you start with the M&A?
Yeah, so hey Danny, good to chat. We chat like every few months because you've got your finger in all the pies, right? I'm like, and he's doing what? And he's doing what? So you have the deal with Molson Coors back in 2019. You've collaborated with Athletic Brewing. You helped launch the Yellowstone BevAlc brand, 4Six's Grit and Glory. And then most recently, I heard a few weeks ago that you struck a deal with the guys at Country Luau with the Dirty Shirley brand. Can you
Yes.
share, what that's all about?
So yeah, and we're the non-alc guys, and everything you just
Right.
mentioned is alc, right? So the lines are blurring, for sure. Every alc company wants to be a non-alc company. Every non-alc company wants to be an alc company, and we kind of sit right in the middle of that. I mean, when Molson invested in us, they announced the name change of their company on the same day they announced their investment, from the Miller Brewery to the Molson Coors Beverage Company, and then of course Athletic were very involved. And then we brokered the Topo Chico hard seltzer deal, bringing Coke into Alk, which has led to Simply and all that. So we are very, I guess, picky about what we do in the Alk space. Molson didn't invest in us to do a bunch of stuff in Alk, to be clear. But we are opportunistic and we are an independent company. So when a great opportunity arises, we're going to be good business people and take them. And this one came through LA Vibrations, which is our marketing arm. They're working with Dirty Shirley, with Adam Cost, and they, were just telling me what they're seeing. And I was dazzled. The digital footprint that that brand has and the buzz that's going on online is going to convert and translate into something unique and special and different. And we wanted to be a part of it, so we are a part of it. So we struck a really cool deal. We'll broker it to retail, and we'll do some consulting with them. And we have the opportunity to earn some equity in the brand, and therefore Molson will have some equity in the brand indirectly. And I think it's just a really exciting, I mean, Dirty Shirley, what a great brand name. Incredible liquid, incredible branding, a really great leader. It kind of has that perfect storm that we're always looking for. So yeah, we're excited about partnering with Adam on that.
I'm a Forgive me, I'm kind of new here, but how widespread is this Dirty Shirley distributed currently?
Just getting started. And, you know, he's been a kind of a one man show and has gotten really good traction. He just picked up Schnucks on his own. We did nothing to do with that. We can't take credit for that, but I think there's a big opportunity, in places where we can really move the needle with our relationships at places like Walmart and 7-Eleven and Albertsons and places like that. So that's where we're going to focus. But it's early days, but it's got really, some really great traction.
Right. And more than anything, I mean, what you guys do at LLABations, you incubate brands, right? That's and but you do that at different stages, right? I mean, you've worked on some huge brands, right? Like Zico and Body Armor and what else? Some other giant brands.
So everybody asks me this, like, what is LLABations?
Yeah.
And what does LLABations
that's really the question.
As much as I'd love to keep the mystery around it, I'll tell you. So we are a beverage creator, incubator, and accelerator.
Okay.
We live primarily in the non-alc world, but we break our rules often. And, you know, very much in the DNA of our company is our retail relationships. I'll put our relationships with the retailers up with anybody on the planet. That's not forever. That's for right now. It kind of ebbs and flows. These people come and go and get fired and rehired and land at different places. But right now where we sit today, we are just really well positioned. And, you know, we have relationships. We don't have contacts. We have relationships. And we are seen as the disruptors in the industry. And that's what retailers want. So what's going on in the non-alc world, I can't speak to your world as much, but in the non-alc world, 50% of the growth in beverage is coming from brands and categories that didn't exist 5 years ago. So consumers are incredibly promiscuous. They want to try new stuff. So if you're a retailer and you want to grow your category, you have to be in the new stuff. Mm-hmm. The problem is there's a 98% infant mortality rate. So only 2% of brands get to 10 million in revenue. So the retailer is like, how in the world do I know what to bring in? I have better odds going to Vegas. So that's where we come in as the emerging beverage category captain. We've overthought, you know, what it takes for a brand to succeed. And trust me, we get it wrong still all the time. But our batting average is much better than 2%. And the retailers rely heavily on us for what they should bring in, because we vet not only the liquid, not only the branding, we vet the founder, we vet their access to capital. And then we, of course, can create a lot of top spin for brands and, you know, create momentum for brands. And when we do deals with brands, it's easier for them to raise money. We've come to find out. So we can kind of put top spin on it. It's still going to be up to the founder. It's always up to the founder. But you're right. We've been, you know, everybody's quick to give us accolades for the good ones, like you named Zico and Core Water and Body Armor. And there's a whole list of ones that we don't talk about anymore because they didn't work. But in talking about those, you know, we've been part of more exits than almost anyone. So I'm very proud of that. And they've all been kind of at different stages, to your point. So Zico, we got involved very early, maybe not day one, but like day two. And we drove that thing to the exit with Mark Rampolla. He's always very gracious and says we created a lot more value than we got back. But that was a game changer, that brand, for us, because it was our first equity for services deal. So we got to go along for the ride on the exit. And then Core Water with Lance Collins was an incredible ride. You know, I was an initial board member. Dino was the first operating manager of the company, but Lance was behind that, and he's a force of nature. And in about 3.5 years, we took it from zero and we sold it to KDP for $526 million. That was incredible. And, you know, one of our investors in that brand was Seven Ventures, 7-Eleven. So we got to show up with a rather large check that was a big surprise to them. So friends for life, obviously. And so that helps, you know, like when Mike Rapoli called me for Body Armor, he was like, hey, I need your help. And he had gotten it to over $100 million in revenue. And he didn't have 7-Eleven, Walmart, Sam's or Costco. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, how did you get to 100 million without Gatorade's top three customers, you know? And he said, my guys go in and they talk to the buyers, and the buyers say, I love it because it's incredible, but we have this exclusive Gatorade deal. And so it's over my head. I can't deal with it. Well, we deal well beyond the buyers. So, you know, I called 7-Eleven's senior leadership, and who I just gave a huge, huge check to. And I said, I think this one's got legs. I think you guys should not have an exclusive with Gatorade, and you should be selling this. As a merchant, you need to be in this brand. And sure enough, we broke the exclusive and we put it in Walmart and Sam's, and Costco was a huge one. And the thing just took off, and we got to $1.4 billion in revenue and sold it for $8 billion. So,
and now, now Mike can race horses. You know,
Mike can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
he's got a Mike, sneaker brand, you know, I think.
He does with Tom Brady, called No Bull. He is, I mean, winners win. That guy is the most incredible human being that I've ever met, you know, businessman for sure. He just wins, and there's no one like him, you know. And then Lance is up there too. And you know, I'm very fortunate. You know, I was raised by wolves in this business. Guys like Mike Rapoli and Lance Collins, and trying to make them proud at this point. But you know, everything's hard. You know, everyone's quick to congratulate us on our success, but everything's hard. You know, we've faced some very dark times as a company. You know, Coke was an owner of the company at one point. They own 25% of us, and you know, as it happens in big companies, regimes change, and the new regime that came in didn't really see the value in what we were doing, and they kind of left us for dead by the side of the road, and it wasn't personal. That's what my therapist tells me. It wasn't personal. It's a company, not a person. But that was really hard. We struggled to keep the company afloat. I mean, I was facing personal and professional bankruptcy, and that's when you know, Pete saw me at Beverage Forum and asked me to come in and meet with Gavin, and we struck that deal, and that has just been an incredible deal for us. You know, I'm not speaking for them, but Gavin's very, very gracious on how he thinks it was a great deal for them. And you know, we've had some really big successes. Obviously, Topo Chico bringing that over to Molson was a big win for Molson. And then, you know, Zoa has been an interesting one, but like, we got some crazy momentum on Zoa. I mean, we did 80 million year one and 150 million year two, and we had it all wrong, which, you know, we always think we're the smartest guys in the room, and then we realize we're really not. And we had it all wrong. We had 5 SKUs with sugar, 5 SKUs without sugar. We had it in a black 16-ounce can, looked like Monster. You look back and just go, what was I thinking? You know, what were we thinking? If we'd have launched Zoa like it is today, it would be a $1 billion brand. I have zero doubt in my mind. Yeah. It's bulletproof right now. The liquid's amazing. The packaging's amazing. And obviously DJ with his audience is amazing. So, yeah, hopefully that gives you, you know, a good idea of what we do. We also have built a lot of pick and shovel businesses around LA Libations that we needed for our own brands. So, you know, as we create brands for Molson or we create our own brands, you know, you need a marketing agency, you need a merchandising company, you need distribution, you know, like early stage distribution. So over the years, we just saw that money flying out the door, and me and my business partners just said, let's just bring this all in house. Instead of working with 6 different marketing agencies on 13 brands, let's just use one for all 13 brands. So we created LA Vibrations. It's had a real moment, a lot of great clients. We created Relentless Trade Solutions, run by Robert Macias, who was my first boss when I wore a uniform and a back belt at Coke. You know, we invested in High Touch Libations, which is a chess match that I don't think everybody fully appreciates quite yet, but they will. It's really fascinating what's going on with High Touch. And so we're about 100 people now almost, which is mind blowing to me. And we have a really great team. I know everybody says we have a great team, but we really have a great team. And we just made another big investment, which we can talk about with Beverage Forum.
Yeah, let's before we get to that, going back to Dirty Shirley, are you going to help it? Well, that will likely go through the MillerCoors network.
I sure think Adam would hope so. They should be so fortunate, right? We're going to do everything we can to steer it that way. But ultimately, the brand will have to earn that way onto those trucks. We can't wave a wand and put it in the Molson network or anything like that. But I think they'll want it. I mean, it's really a cool product, and it's very differentiated, and it's very incremental to everything else that you know the Molson network is selling. So I hope they grab it.
Yeah,
I hope they do.
Yeah, I would. It seems like a great prop. You know, nobody's really. Yeah, everybody knows what a Shirley Temple is. I still love Shirley Temples. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Of course.
So, so you're doing all this, and then we've got the beverage form, which for those of you who don't know is a yearly executive event for both ALK and non-ALK. Usually, I think it's in Chicago every year. And so tell us what happened there.
So Michael Bellis is 80 plus years old. He's a great guy. He's built this iconic industry event in the beverage industry. And it's so if you think of like BevNet or Brewbound, that's kind of like for the kids, like for the early stage founders, pre-revenue, very early, right? Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible event, BevNet. We built this company off BevNet. I love BevNet. We're sponsoring it this year. Everybody should go to BevNet Live. It's amazing. It's in New York in June. But Beverage Forum has kind of been the opposite end of the spectrum, where Michael has always gotten these incredible keynotes, like CEO, it's ALK and non-ALK. So he'd have like Muhtar Kent, the CEO of the Coca-Cola company, and the CEO of Pernod Ricard, and the CEO of Constellation, all the Wall Street analysts, you know, Bonnie and Robert Ottenstein, everybody's there. And then you'd have like, you know, all these suppliers. And like, I'll never forget, I was there. So I met Michael Bellis through Jerry Kermush, and Jerry said, hey, they could probably use some help getting some retailers to Beverage Forum. So I said, sure, I'd be happy to help. So my first one I brought Walgreens and 7-Eleven, I think I brought. And I was there with Muhtar Kent, the CEO of the Coca-Cola company. And I kid you not, some guy came up to him and said, hey, man, like I'm in the bottle cap business. Can I sell you some bottle caps? And I was just like, what is going on here? Like this bottle cap guy is trying to sell bottle caps to the CEO. It's just a interesting event, like to say right. The least. And, you know, it's gotten a little bit sleepy over the last couple years. And Michael called me and he goes, Danny, he goes, this is my legacy. And I go, it is, it's incredible what you built. And he goes, but I don't have a lot of more gas in the tank. And, I want this to live on. It's my legacy. And we become good friends. And I look at him as like a coach and a mentor. And, you know, at first I was thinking, I got to do this just to honor his legacy. And I said, I'll do anything to help, right? And so we structured a really great deal, a really great deal for him, a really great deal for us. And so now it's mine and Dino's and Pat's. And I'm thinking, this could be really fun. Let's spice this up. So we moved it to Manhattan Beach, and it has been incredible. It's on April 30th and May 1st. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen the lineup yet, but it's unbelievable, like literally unbelievable. So Rodney Sachs and Hilton from Monster are keynoting. Will McDonald from Walmart, Jesus Delgado Jenkins from 7-Eleven, the chief merchant of 7-Eleven. Gavin is going to do a keynote. We're going to see probably a few celebrities, because you can't really have a beverage forum and not talk about celebrities in 2024. Every celebrity has a beverage. So, and then just, you know, kind of the who's who of the industry have just really responded well and supported it. The sponsorships and ticket sales like have blown us away. We're 5X. The largest sponsorships they've ever sold were 5X, and we're still 3 weeks out and there's still people calling us. So, and the tickets, it's going to sell out. We'll triple probably what they had last year in ticket sales. I think moving it to LA is a big piece. And then I think just, there's a lot of energy going into it. My company is so excited about it. Everybody's just thrilled to host it. And we have a closest to the pin. You two are definitely invited. You please come.
Awesome.
It would mean the world. It would mean the world to me. And so, yeah, so I think the event really, I think the industry really needs this event. And the theme of the event is dynamic change. And because that's what we're seeing in our industry. And the fact that it's ALK and non-ALK is really interesting. Not many other conferences are both non-ALK and ALK. And as we're seeing those lines blur, I think it's really interesting. You know, so one of the panelists, we have a panel on the blurring lines of ALK and non-ALK, and it's Dan White, who's the head of alcohol for the Coca-Cola company. It's Jason Strauss, who's the CEO of the Tao Group. And it's Lance Collins, who's, you know, Body Armor, and now he's doing Casa Azul, you know, tequila and RTDs. And it's going to be an incredible panel. And just some of the things that are happening are we're going to dive into and explore. Like Jason Strauss, he runs the Tao Group, right? He has the 60 biggest, best nightclubs in the world. And he's talking to me how his consumer is changing and they're drinking less and less alcohol. And, you know, what does that mean to his business and what's going to happen with that? So I think there's just some really fun panels. There's a panel with Nick Giannuzzi, who's, you know, the biggest deal maker in our industry. Rohan is on that panel. Rohan Oza, who's, you know, going to make another billion on Poppy. Looks like, you know, he was behind, you know, Vitamin Water and Buy, and he's just an incredible guy. Noah Bremen, who's a real deal maker in the space. With Walmart. And so, you know, Wayne Wu from VMG, some incredible women are coming, Taylor Foxman, Bonnie Herzog. It's going to be cool. And what I want to make it is like the Allen & Co. or the Davos of the beverage industry. I want it to become a place where deals are being made, announcements are being made. Everybody that's beating each other up and fiercely competitive come together for 2 days and then leave and go beat the hell out of each other again after they leave. So that's really the goal for it and the vision for it. And I really want to honor Michael Bellis and his legacy that he's built. So that's what we're up to.
Well, that's cool because you're right that the forum had become sleepy. You know, it from my perspective, and we go sometimes and sometimes we haven't, you know, if Michael had like several beer CEOs, then we'd go. But it seemed to me like it was kind of a safe place for CEOs. And that's why he got the CEOs. It was a safe place for the CEOs of publicly traded companies to not be asked hard questions. And I think that was the niche he filled, and they filled it well, but it was getting, I'm glad you're coming in to refresh it, and we'll definitely send somebody there. Probably, I can't travel at the moment, so it'd probably be Bianca if that's okay.
So Bianca can keep us honest, but she may have a lot of comments about it, but Sleepy will not be one of them. We got some just incredible things planned. And you know, it is a big responsibility because, you know, I'm going to be on stage with CEOs of publicly traded companies. And, you know, some of them I know very well and some of them I don't. And it's a big responsibility. And it's a dance, right? Because you can't do gotcha questions and put them in hard spots. And, you know, there's all the Wall Street analysts are there as well, watching, hanging on every word that they say. But you don't want to lob up softball. You don't want to lob up softballs either.
Especially, you know, they get in these quiet periods. They can't really.
We're dealing with that. You know, Coke couldn't come. Jennifer Mann was going to come, but they have their earnings literally right on that day. But we were dancing around some of these earnings calls. Some had to be on April 30th and some could only speak on May 1st and things like that.
So I'm curious, how did you get Rodney and Hilton? Because they famously don't speak anywhere.
I didn't. Michael Bellis did.
Okay.
And I think it was because it's his last hurrah. Uh-huh. And, they have a really long-term relationship from what I understand. Speaking out of turn a little bit, but you know, I know he testified for them a few times, you know, when they had some frivolous lawsuits and things. And so I think he called in the one last hurrah favor. So it's going to be great. They're doing the final keynote on day one, right before our hole-in-one happy hour where you can win a car. It's going to be fun.
I'll go for that alone, right?
Yeah, it's hilarious. So the happy hour is great. It's on this balcony that overlooks this par three hole. And so anyone's there can go grab a club, but everybody at the happy hour is going to be drinking and watching you hit.
Yeah.
So it should be hilarious.
That's
people
great.
Be shanking them into the water and stuff.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I do appreciate it, Danny, for your time. And we'll see you in a couple weeks and good luck on your inaugural event.
Thank you all so much. I really appreciate the microphone, and you guys are doing the Lord's work for the industry. So thank you so much.
Somebody recognizes our value.
I recognize it. All right, take care.
See ya.